T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Down at 8, center does pick up Witkowski, but he's able to shake the protection and the football is loose. And it looks like the Bears have it. At the bottom of that pile, it's Akeem Hicks. We talked about the Bears taking the ball away.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Bears Friday. McNeil and Parkin's on The Score, where the hour is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Honda CRV? Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental difference. Joining us now on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline, it's The Sauce, Bears linebacker and special teamer Nick Kwiatkowski, who's with us to talk Bears-Packers and this turnaround season, in addition to talk about Care for Real, which is a really cool thing this holiday season. They're bringing toys to kids who need it. Care for Real is located at 5339 North Sheridan Road, and there's an event on December 18th where Nick will be there at 12:30 at the Care for Real headquarters. Nick, we appreciate your time. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on, Nick. How can we help out with this?
You could go down there. I mean, we've had a couple of days to donate for the past couple of weeks, so it's getting kind of down to the day of the event. But, the address, you guys said it, on Sheridan Road. I mean, you can just donate up till Tuesday.
And also careforreal.org. It sounds like a great organization. I'm always interested, like, you with your platform, all your teammates, you all can have different things, and you can throw, you know, your weight and your platform behind any cause that you want. Why is this cause one that means something to you?
It's the holiday season. Being a kid, I mean, it's something you look forward to. And get gifts, kind of that giving time of the year. It was just something that we kind of built a relationship last year with Care for Real. And, I mean, I worked them a little bit here and there last year, and we did a toy drive, and it ended up being great. Great turnout. I was able to help out a lot, and it was just something that we carried over onto this year.
So, again, the event is Tuesday, December 18th from 9 a.m. to 2. Nick's going to be there starting at 12:30. Again, you could donate at careforreal.org and 5339 North Sheridan Road. So Nick, it's obviously Bears-Packers week. I want you to take us inside, as much as you're willing to share, about, you know, the first meeting of the week when Matt Nagy's put in plays from week one on the board, and you're all watching that, and he's got a message to you guys about this game. What's that meeting like?
We all know what happened week one. We know that we've came a long way. We know that they've came a long way. Really, at this point in the season, for us, I mean, we're treating it as much as we can as a normal game, but I mean, as you know, it's Bears Packers week, so I mean, everyone kind of knows the height that surrounds that.
You know, that was that game, and so many good things, and we're going to get to all those good things have happened since, but that was one of two this year where there were fourth quarter defensive issues, and we spent a lot of time debating whether it made sense or didn't make sense to, you know, play many of the regulars during preseason games. Was it in your opinion, Nick, a question of conditioning early in the season where your defense simply was out of gas? And in the case of a couple players, too, they got to camp late.
That's hard to say. I mean, looking back now, I mean, we've moved on way past that. I mean, we
– Sure.
I mean, to go back that far, and have a, I mean, it's hard to even say. I mean, from my opinion, I think we played it right. I mean, it's things – I mean, watching the film, I mean, there was things here and there we could have done better, but I mean – For the Cubs to go back that far, I mean, it's too hard to say.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's go something much more recent, and that is the ass-kicking you guys delivered against the Rams this past Sunday night. Was there a sense between you and your teammates, among you guys, that they just didn't want to play in that cold weather?
Coming to Chicago, I mean, on a night game like that, I mean, it's definitely different than the warm weather that some teams are used to. But, I mean – I mean, it was a big game. I mean, it's hard to say from that aspect, but I mean, we were ready to play.
Yes, you guys certainly were.
Hey. I mean, that was something that we talked about. I mean, we know what the weather was going to be. We're used to it. We're practicing it. So let's worry about us. And, I mean, we'll let it play out.
So you've been here, you know, 3 years, two last place finishes, and this year. Obviously, there are a lot of differences. What's the biggest difference?
The biggest difference, I mean, the most notable is just the energy around the building, the locker room. I mean, that comes with the winning. I mean, but, I mean, from day one, I mean, there's been OTAs. I mean, there's just been different energy in the locker room, different energy at practice. I mean, just overall, just a great vibe around the building and, I mean, on game days and even, like, during practice.
And is that attributed to your new head coach?
Yeah, I mean, that plays into it. I mean, a lot of things really play into it. Guys in the locker room, I mean, their energy is high. I mean, Coach Nagy definitely plays a huge part of it. I mean, he brings the energy every day. You guys can see it, I mean, in the videos of post-game, the things like that. I mean, he definitely brings the energy.
I only can imagine how cool it is in practice when guys who play defense get called out to work on offensive plays, even if they're just decoys. That has to really make the week go by a lot faster and make it a lot more fun. And I imagine we're just, Nick, just tipping the iceberg with what Matt has in his considerable game package.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. As a defensive player, I mean, you get that opportunity. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, it's a surprise, and I mean, it definitely brightens the week up. It's something to look forward to.
Are you more likely to be in on defense or on offense as a thrower or a catcher of the football?
I'm not sure. I mean, if my time ever comes, I'll do whatever.
We're talking to Nick Kwiatkowski here on the
score. And Nick
doesn't
have to report, too. He's got that 44 on his back, so he can just very slyly head out there next to the tackle and doesn't have to say a word.
I didn't even think about that. You're right.
you mentioned after the game and these you know, club dub and the celebrations, and obviously the fans are eating it up, and it seems like you guys are loving it. Who's the most awkward or out-of-place dancer at club dub?
I mean, once they put those lights on, the energy's up. I mean, you don't really pay attention. You're just kind of in the moment. So, I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Well, who's spearheading that whole thing? I know that's a Matt Nagy thing, and these celebrations are going on and all of that. It seems like there's almost like a committee to make sure that you guys are bringing the fun from the practice field to the games to the celebrations to the locker room and the whole thing.
Like I said, it kind of comes with that energy. I mean, that good energy after a win. I mean, we get in that locker room, and, I mean, they have the music going, the lights down, the different color lights going around. I mean, people just get in there and get excited.
What impresses you about the way first-year linebacker Roquan Smith is handling his responsibilities and the pressure placed on a guy in a defense that is emerging as perhaps the best in the league?
I mean, he's been great. I mean, obviously, I mean, he's an athletic guy. I mean, he does a lot of things very well. But, I mean, as for the pressure, I mean, he's handled this whole year very, very well. And, I mean, my hat's off to him. I mean, different things are thrown at him. He's put in different positions. I mean, everything he does, he handles it like he's been there before. I mean, other than that, I mean, just the way he carries himself, I mean, you wouldn't guess he's a rookie.
What is the thing, then, that impresses you about, like, the overall defense? Because you guys were good last year, and now you're great. What's the thing that maybe us casual observers don't understand about what makes that team great?
I mean, like you said, I mean, we were a good defense last year, and just what impressed me was just us taking that next step from last year into this year, kind of taking it on as a challenge. It started back in OTAs when, I mean, we really got a feel of things. And, I mean, you could just tell guys were taking on bigger roles. And, I mean, we kind of had that mindset that we wanted to be better than last year. I mean, dating back to all the way back then. So just for us to take that on as a challenge and, you know, and just improve on things that we needed to work on and build on things that we were already good at. I mean, just that is impressive to me.
Nick, our text line says, if you don't know who the worst dancer is on the team, it might be you.
Yep.
I saw you on the Prince of Mukamara Motown celebration. They're right. That might be you.
Hey, for that, I had no idea what was going on that one. I got out there. I didn't know that was the Motown celebration, so I was lost there. But I'm not going to say yes or no.
Okay. And then just give me a scouting report. This is a selfish question. My alma mater, Syracuse, is playing your alma mater, West Virginia, in the very esteemed Camping World Bowl. Is your team any good?
Yeah. I mean, they've been pretty good. They've been impressive throughout the season. But it's a different game when it comes to bowl games. So I'll just leave it at they're pretty good. They're pretty good in the offense and defense side of the ball.
All right. Well, you're doing great work with Care for Real and careforreal.org. People can go see you December 18th at the Care for Real headquarters, 5339 North Sheridan Road. Nick will be there from 12:30 to 2, but you could drop off toys and learn more about the organization between 9 and 2. And again, careforreal.org. Thank you, Nick.
Good stuff, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Kick some ass Sunday, man.
Will do. I appreciate it.
Give it to him.
All right, that's Nick Kwiatkowski from the Bears. He's got to be the worst dancer on the team.
That's a real good chance. We stereotype all the white guys, right? The guys don't have any rhythm.
Yeah, I mean,
it's got to be, right?
I watched that Prince of Mukamura thing today, and I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah. He definitely had no, at least he explained it. He's like, I had no idea what was going on. That makes sense. But, yeah, man, I don't know about Shep and the whole changing of the guard thing that he was talking about last night, but they're not really feeding into the old school rivalry. They're feeding into revenge. Let's right or wrong. We should have beat them week one.
Yes. Week one, you don't have to look past because a lot of them weren't even here for the recent, disappointments against the Packers. So you might as well just keep it in this year and keep it in the here and now. And that's all that stands between them and a North Division championship this Sunday afternoon.
I think they're going to do it.
I do, too. I think they're going to run away and hide from Green Bay. I've got 33-14.
How do you think we'll feel on Monday if the Bears lose to the Packers?
Real bad.
But the Vikings also lose.
Still real bad.
So even if they're NFC North champs on Monday?
I think it'll be a real disappointment. I think it would be a disappointment at this part of the season that would exceed the loss to the Dolphins. Yes, I do.
Oh, wow.
This is one you got to take.
It's a failure of a season if they lose Sunday, isn't it? They go 14-2.
All those. I used to hear that now and again. Well, I don't care if they lose them all as long as they win two.
2-14, yep. As long as they beat Green Bay.
One year they almost got their wish. I think one year they won only 4-2 of them were against the Packers. How'd that feel? Was that a fun 4-12 for you, kids?
God.
We beat the Packers both meetings. Oh, geez.
What an awful mentality.
Stupid thing to say.
Yeah. That is the absolute worst.
Sox fans, I don't care if we go 6-156 as long as those 6 are against the Cubs.
God, that's the worst. The feeling will be there.
It's a very low bar, though.
That's true. Like Fitz staying at Northwestern. Like, yeah, I can do no better.
I want to talk about that.
Let's do it. I think it's a good job. I think it's a little – I think Burnsy's, like I said in transition, overstating how great of a job it is. And when he says he's Bo Schembechler, like, so you're going to coach at Northwestern for 40 years?
If that's what his heart desires, go for it. I just don't know too many coaches who are content to be in one place. Just not in the last 25 years. Most guys, when you think they are incredibly comfortable and they build something that's hard to build. Mack Brown's a good example. He builds North Carolina in the 90s, and it's like, wow, you've done amazing things here. It's a basketball school. Look what you're doing in North Carolina. It's a 10-1 season. Only team that beat him in the ACC that year in 97 was Florida State, and they kicked their ass, too. But what does he do? Does he sit and reap the benefits of that hard work and upgrades in facilities and donations? No, he moves on because Texas came calling. Time to go build something someplace else. That's how coaches are, most of them.
Yeah, and he's at alma mater, and he's never expressed that, and he's got the contract, so he could be an exception to that. It's just you're asking him to be there a long time if you think he's turning down not only Penn State, but he's turning down Notre Dame if that ever comes open. He's turning down the Bears if that ever comes open. He's turning down the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
I find it hard to believe, but I don't know. Time will tell. I don't know Mark Murphy enough to know. In fact, I don't know him at all. If that is
that would
a,
not be enough.
Right, a serious interview or if it's a favor, if it's just to give Pat the interview experience. If it's just a courtesy.
And get more money out of Northwestern, perhaps?
If that does it.
Yeah, if you're interviewing with the Packers,
well,
and that
you'd
gets
have to be offered the job to hold a gun to their head, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
Unless that's an out in your contract, and I have no idea what his contract has in it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. But the we see that all the time in college. Get the interview, flirt with the other, then you all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, they had 2 years of guaranteed money added, and your assistants get an extra $200K apiece.
He's amidst a monster long-term contract, though, is he not?
Yes, he is.
Isn't he contracted to be their head coach until something like 2026?
I thought I was going to say the mid-2020s.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was a massive deal, year-wise.
What do you let's get into what we think makes a good NFL coach if you're not going to hire the young offensive guy, and like how viable that is, because obviously teams are trying to find Sean McVay, Matt Nagy, if you've got a young rookie quarterback. Like, that's clearly the trend right now, but there are plenty of other reasonable coaching candidates out there, Fitz among them. And then Greg Cosell will break down Bears-Packers from the film perspective at 3. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're working to get caught up with those that are in our conference and put ourselves in position not to be an every once in a while cute story, but to be a consistent winner, a team that consistently wins the Big Ten West and it wins the Big Ten Championship.
Northwestern football coach Pat Fitzgerald with McNeil and Parkins about a month ago.
Call 847, go Cats, and you can get tickets.
Go Cats.
Very excited about his Cats. His Cats are going to the Holiday Bowl. You should go. Support Coach Fitz in his final stand as headmaster of the Purple Haze.
I'm good.
You're good. You could see him next year at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, or Evanston. I don't think I'll be going into San Diego to see Coach Fitz.
It's there. It's something to do.
It is something on New Year's Eve in San Diego. No, I don't think I will be attending that game.
I understand.
Go
to the Gaslamp District. Plenty of good restaurants there.
I'm not worried about having fun in San Diego. I'm not even worried about if Fitz leaves. I think it's an interesting conversation because he seems to be perfect guy, perfect fit in his perfect job, but also no one expected Northwestern to be able to be this good. So that speaks to his ability to coach.
Yes. And over a pretty good stretch of time, too. He has a lot of firsts on his resume. First Northwestern coach to fill in the blank.
Right. Teddy Greenstein for the Tribune covers Northwestern, has a lot of information on Pat Fitzgerald, decided to throw him on. How real is this, Teddy? And we appreciate the time. How real is Fitz in the NFL?
What's up, boys?
Hi, Teddy.
Hi, Danny Mac. What's up, guys?
Good, man.
You know,
how are you?
Here's the thing. If he had been mentioned last week with the Tennessee Titans or the Chargers or the Giants, I wouldn't even pay any attention. You know, we all think that if the Bears ever really wanted him, that would be an almost impossible job for him to turn down. He loves the Bears, and then he'd never have to play against Northwestern. You know, I don't think he'd ever take another college job. But then we think about Green Bay, and we think about Mark Murphy. They happen to have 4 Northwestern players on their roster. Fitz's agent is Brian Harlan. I think Danny Mac has heard of him. And Harlan's dad was a famous executive for the Packers. And then you have this situation where Tom Silverstein of Milwaukee is saying he's going to be contacted. So it's like, wow, there's enough here that I have to write about this. And then after the initial story, Jason, is it pronounced Lockenfora?
Lockenfora, yeah. It's
thank
very
you,
arrogant.
Thank you guys. So then he all of a sudden says, you know, he's the guy. So I'm like, geez, I guess I'll pay a little more attention to it. So to answer your question, I think it's still unbelievably unlikely. You know, there was the website that said 6-1. I think it's 16-1. But even at that, I thought it's interesting to ponder, could he be a good NFL coach? Would he ever want to go? I think right now it's basically impossible because he has everything perfect that he could possibly want at Northwestern. But they just made the Big Ten West. He's got a 5-star quarterback who's going to play next year who Parkins knows well and Hunter Johnson transferred from Clemson. They've got the best facilities. He loves his AD. He loves his coach. His family situation is great. So I think it's unbelievably far-fetched now to think that even if Mark Murphy was serious, that Fitz would go.
Do you believe Mark Murphy is serious, or is this just a courtesy?
You know, on that one, Danny Mac, I just defer to the Packers writers because they talk to him. I mean, Mark, I haven't talked to in 5 or 8 years or something like that. You know, on the one hand, he hired Fitz, and that turned out to be a great move at Northwestern at a time that was a little risky. Fitz was only 31 after the death of Randy Walker, and I think a lot of people thought, you know, he wasn't ready for the job, and I think actually he says he probably, looking back, wasn't ready for the job, but rolled the dice on Fitz, and maybe he just feels, look, I have total faith in the guy. And, you know, I talked to Austin Carr of the Saints, and I've talked to different people. I think Fitz could absolutely master NFL X's and O's. I mean, he's smart enough. He loves football enough. But, like, Fitz in the NFL, I think it would be such a waste because so much of what makes him Fitz is the genuine interest he has in the players and, you know, how well he represents the school. And there are a lot of skills he has that I think would just be wasted in the pro game.
Like what? Beyond being at alma mater and, you know, like shaping young men, what other skills do you think are more collegiate than pro?
Well, I think the shaping young men is a huge, like, he genuinely cares. Like, I think there's certain college coaches out there who still see players as X's and O's, still say, yeah, man, I want you, you know, they claim they care about their grades, but they don't care about their grades. They don't care about their families. They just want them to win games so they get richer. Fitz is not like that. Like, he genuinely cares about their GPA. And I've said this, he might be the only college coach in the country where if you said, all right, you can win 7 games this year with a 3.0 GPA or 8 games with a 2.8, I promise you he would take the 7 wins in the 3.0. Like, he absolutely, like, that's just not BS to him. So, and then I think probably some of the motivational rah-rah stuff, go Cats and all that kind of thing. I mean, you have to motivate in the pros, but I think you motivate them to feed their families versus, you know, taking pride in all the things he appeals to with 18 to 21-year-olds.
Do you think if he were given an NFL opportunity, he would be any different in terms of his sideline demeanor?
Oh, well, how do you see his sideline demeanor?
Very collegiate. Very rah-rah, very jumping in and out of the huddle, very much, you know, let's win this one for good old Northwestern. Yeah, I don't know if that works at the NFL level or if he's the kind of guy who's going to change that. It seems like it's genuine to me. I've never felt it's been pretentious.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Danny Mac, with college coaches, like, every game is so meaningful and kind of scary. It's like they lost to Akron and everybody remembers that loss to Akron and is still holding it over on them. Where in the NFL, I mean, if you go like 12-4 or 11-5, like, nobody really cares who you beat or who you lost to. Obviously, if you're the Bears, you want to beat the Packers and vice versa. There's some rivalry games. But, like, every game is so magnified. It's part of why Urban Meyer resigned or retired, because one loss is like a tragedy in college. So I think the coaches reflect that. They're like maniacs sometimes on the sideline because one loss really does wreck your season.
So you've got it at, we're talking to Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune, you've got it at 16-1 that he leaves for the Packers. Like, so do you think he's at Northwestern for life?
And by the way, which side would you take on that? Would you bet $100 at 16-1 or, you know, 1-20 for him to stay?
I'd bet on him to stay because I think the status quo in these things is always the smart money.
I like the ROI on a 16-1, though.
Yeah, me too.
That's very tasty.
A little more fun.
Yeah.
But like,
you know, yeah.
So okay, you say he leaves for the Bears. Does he leave for Notre Dame? Or do you think 20 years from now, Coach Fitz is still in Evanston?
I think 5-plus years from now, like maybe once his kids graduate from high school, he would look around, and that's a while from now. I mean, Danny Mac might know better. I mean, his youngest is, I don't know, 10 years old or something like that. So I think eventually there's something else out there for him. But I really don't think it's another college job, and I definitely know it's not Notre Dame. He doesn't like Notre Dame at all. He has no interest there. Now, I used to say if Jim Phillips became the athletic director at Notre Dame, then maybe there's that 1% chance that, you know, that Fitz would go with him because he loves Jim Phillips, the AD. But no, I mean, I think eventually, look, in that profession, unless you make it in the pros, you are always viewed upon a little less favorably. Like Jim Harbaugh, he can win the next 5 Big Ten titles. He can win a national title. But I think in the industry, until you've won a Super Bowl, you have not hit the pinnacle. So I think for all those hyper-competitive guys, they all see the NFL as an eventual destination.
Yeah, and you can win a Super Bowl if you're the head coach of the Packers. Can you win a national championship in Evanston?
Can you win a national? They almost did. I mean, they came really close that Rose Bowl year, that 95 year. It's unbelievably unlikely, but not impossible. Look, he's been recruiting good players with really crappy facilities. Now, according to some, they have the best college football facilities in the country. That's significant. You know, they're good enough this year to win the Big Ten West, despite losing all those non-conference games. So, you know, Stanford, I mean, I think people don't think it's impossible that a school like Stanford would win the national title, and Northwestern strives to be the Midwest version of Stanford.
Teddy, when you say, you know, that he'd rather win fewer games for 0.2 tenths higher on the GPA, like, my cynicism just says that's not true. You know, I'm just cynical about a lot of these big college football programs, and I know Northwestern has some differences, but, like, you truly believe that Fitz is all about the kids, no whiff of scandal, all about education and that sort of thing? You truly believe it's all real?
I do. I mean, I've known him for almost 30 years or something, 25, 30 years. Yeah, I mean, look, he's maniacally competitive, and he'll do some things that, you know, he'll sort of lie to us about injuries or be deceptive on stuff like that if he thinks it gives him, like, a shred of an advantage to win on Saturdays. He's not an angel. But no, I mean, in terms of doing it right, following the rules, and caring about these guys, like, he can tell you, like, if you mention a guy who played for him 10 years ago, he'll tell you where that guy works. I'm telling you, he cares about this stuff. When he tells everybody it's not a 4-year decision, it's a 40-year decision, he is way, way into that. And players who didn't even help him win, like, there's a kid number one this year, Chad Hanaoka. He's their running back. He was a walk-on. He was the video guy. Like, he takes so much pride in that kid having a great college football experience that other coaches, you know, the Petrinos or most of these guys who don't give a rat's, who are only about the bottom line, getting rich and getting wins, that's not Fitz. He really does care about the whole guy.
I believe it to be true, Danny. I know he's still smirking here, Teddy G.
Oh, I mean, no, like, I want to believe it, and Fitz seems better than most. It's just,
I've seen evidence of it over the years. I see how the university's football and athletic programs respond to tragedy. Marcel Price before the 95 season, Teddy, and they've had a lot of tragedy. The fullback from Colorado, Matt Hartle, and I've seen how they all respond. My high school coach is a Northwestern quarterback, still very much involved. They call themselves a family, and they back it up with their actions. They truly are. I believe that.
I'll give you one little example. So, when you're a college football or college basketball writer and you want the cell phone number of a kid who maybe has already given a verbal commitment or who is being recruited, you know, writers typically ask somebody at the school, hey, can you give me a cell number? Pat Fitzgerald, I think, is the only coach who has told me I can't give that out. I guess it's an NCAA rule that the coach is not supposed to give the cell phone number of a player out, or maybe even if it's not an exact rule, he just thinks there's something wrong with that. There's certain things like that make him different from almost any other college football coach who's really just looking out for, you know, for his wallet and the number of wins he can accumulate.
He's not biting.
No,
now.
It all sounds lovely.
I wish you could see his face.
it all sounds lovely. All I'm saying is, and this is, it's not a comparison. It's just the industry. Like, there are plenty of stories about, like, Urban Meyer being charitable, or Urban Meyer helping, like, people, you know, develop into men. Like, Chris Carter talks about it on national television. I don't know if I'd be the man I was today if Urban Meyer wasn't my wide receiver coach. Like, so there's good and bad in all of this, and the money and the inequity of power that is in college sports makes me cynical to the whole thing.
Sure.
So when you tell me that Pat Fitzgerald wouldn't take the Ohio State job or the Packer job if offered to him, it's like,
he wouldn't take the Ohio State job, I can promise you. But here's part of why he wouldn't. He went 5-7 in back-to-back years in Northwestern, and there was no heat. There was no Fitz, you got to change your staff, you got to fire your offensive coordinator, you have to do that. So part of why he knows he has it so good at Northwestern is because it's not a school that just revolves around football.
But he likes the lack of pressure.
Well, he puts an enormous amount on himself, but, like, all these other schools where, if you, like, at Auburn, if you lose, you know, two games a year, we want to fire you and give you a buyout of $40 million. Like, the way it is at Northwestern is the way it should be. The way it is at every other school is completely warped. I mean, like, everyone has gotten so crazy about this obsession with winning. Like, you're at USC, you win the Rose Bowl last year, a couple years before that, you know, you win the Pac-12. You had a 500 year. Well, you have to be fired. I mean, you got to fire the coach, right? I mean, he's, you know, he went 6-6 this year, or 5-7. So, no, I mean, he puts a lot of pressure on himself. But, yeah, I mean, Northwestern doesn't say if you go 5-7. Like, Chris Collins had a bad year last year. It's not like, oh, we got to fire him. You know, they actually look at this stuff normally. It's all the other schools that are crazy, in my opinion.
No, reasonable minds can agree or disagree on that. I find the Fitz conversation fascinating, and he, by all accounts, seems awesome. I'm not saying I know anything about Fitz and like the demons in the closet. It's just, it's a sport. It's a sport that produces demons.
Sure, that's true. I mean, even look. I mean, let's not get into Joe Paterno, but we know all about that. Or Michigan State coaches. I mean, I think Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo, from everything I know, are really good people. Then they make horrible, awful decisions. Urban Meyer, awful, horrible decision with Zach Smith. You know, I hope Fitz, I think he has much, much, much better judgment than that. We're kind of straying off course. But yeah, I just, you know, in terms of other jobs, I don't think he'd ever take another job where he has to compete against Northwestern. I used to say if he got offered like the University of Texas, something like that, where, you know, if you recruit decently, you should be in the top 5 or top 10 every year, maybe that would appeal to him.
Okay.
But nothing, certainly nothing in the Big Ten.
So like Texas, USC, a big SEC job, something like that.
I don't think he'd be interested in USC. I don't think he wants to live in L.A. I mean, that's the thing, too. He's from Orland, as you guys know.
Right.
He's entrenched in the North Shore. He's got the family. He's got Stacy. I mean, like, why would you go? I mean, he makes almost $4 million a year. He has the best facilities in the country. And his team just made it to the Big Ten title game. Like, what's missing?
Teddy, always good to visit with you. Thank you for the time. And my refrigerator looks better every December with the beautiful Greenstein girls and the Christmas card adorning it. So thank you, sir.
I will pass that along to the wife who put out the card. Guys, thanks. Have a great weekend. Talk to you.
You too,
thanks,
bud.
Teddy. Bottom of the hour, appropriately brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter as they host Oklahoma, Indiana, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale at nusports.com.
It wasn't part of the conversation, but I wanted to footnote the conversation afterward by suggesting the 95 Northwestern football team that went 10-1 before getting crushed by Carson Palmer. No, that was pre-Carson Palmer.
Keyshawn Johnson
was on that USC team, yeah. Would not in today's arrangement have an opportunity to play for a national championship. They had the good fortune that year of missing Ohio State. They would have met in today's game in the Big Ten championship, and Eddie George would run for about a week before somebody tackled. That was a good Northwestern team. It was a wonderful ride, but that 95 Buckeyes team was a juggernaut, and they would not have been slowed by Northwestern in that season.
Greg Cosell will join us at 3 o'clock. We have the latest installment of As the World Turns, Bulls Soap Opera Edition, coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rolo on a face-up, down low right against Bamba, back it in, on a reverse with a right-handed dunk. Rolo eating some Mexican rim.
Rolo, roll to Rolo, not to his friend, but on Bamba.
Here in Mexico City, a little salsa for Rolo. I love it.
That's what we're looking for.
Little bit of salsa.
That's all we needed.
A little salsa
Mexican
for Rolo.
Rim.
I love it.
Mexican rim tonight here in Mexico City.
The Bulls must hate me. I mean, we bet them. I bet them personally. We bet them with the show pod in the second half.
You mean Los Toros.
Los Toros.
A little salsa for Rolo. I love it.
They lose the game. They lose the second half, but the second half line is 1.5. They lose it by 1, so we lose by the hook. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's okay. You win some, you lose some. You guys had good reason to play the Magic.
True, true. We had good reason.
So I didn't pout about it. I'm not, hey, you win some, you lose some. Sometimes you choose between the two. That didn't make any sense. That's not even the cliche. But, yeah, I guess Mexico City is not having a banner year for hosting sporting events. They had the field not ready and an NFL game canceled.
Yeah, the Monday Night Football rescheduling slightly more high profile than the problems of Bulls Magic.
Certainly, but and nobody outside of Central Florida cares, but Orlando Magic fans were not treated to a broadcast last night. They had arena issues. The arena was not equipped to handle the internet traffic.
Not great.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Mexico City. We apologize for the technical difficulties. We are working at a fever pitch to correct these things. As you know, this is not an NBA arena, and it's obviously a different country. So we've got the best in the business, Rich Wadd, our engineer here on hand in Mexico City, to handle this. As the Magic will come out, along with the Chicago Bulls, and our pick to perform brought to you by WOW Internet TV and phone. WOW provides fast, reliable internet, strong Wi-Fi for your whole home. And Bill, tell me about what you're expecting tonight.
Well, tonight's the pick to perform, as we're having it right now, is focused.
It was awesome of Bruce to get the Mexico and hand over the cell phone for Bill.
God, that had like high school radio flashbacks.
Well, I was flashing immediately to Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers Shooter when he was listening to Hickory playing for the state championship. Yeah, because his boy was on the team. He's in the dryer, and he's getting all excited listening to them win the championship over South Bend.
Just into a speakerphone there, passing it back and forth.
That was great.
Unreal.
That's old-time radio.
They're the pros, though. You get that game on the air no matter what.
Rich Wyatt, the best in the business. Working at a feverish pitch to get us back on the air with broadcast quality that you've become accustomed to here on your home for the Bulls. Sports Radio 670, The Score.
A little salsa, Barolo. I love it.
Mexican rim tonight in Mexico City.
Put some salsa on it. That is great. And then you see the Jabari Parker news? Out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Out of the lineup. $20 million down the drain. Thankfully, they'll play Chandler Hutchison more. Boylan last night said we can't play him at the Ford. We have Boylan from last night. Let's hear it,
Jim. Real quick, the obvious thing was this was the least amount of minutes we've seen from Jabari this season. Has he fallen out of favor as far as the rotation's concerned? I mean, that's the talk, or was it a matchup thing tonight?
Well, I think it's a matchup thing. I also think that it's hard to play three fours. It's very difficult to do that. And so we played him some minutes at three and didn't think that was the way to go the rest of the game. So, this team is not about one person, one matchup, one situation. It's about the team. And you play your minutes when you're in there. And when you're not, we hope you support the other guys that are. So, we got a lot of games left, and we're going to need all our people as we go forward.
I know you played him a few minutes at small forward tonight, but not a lot. I mean, is there any chance that he'll get minutes at that position moving forward, or is he going to be out of the rotation for a while here?
Him playing four is difficult right now. Him playing three, there may be an opportunity there. I like Hutch. Hutch was sick tonight, so Jabari got some of those minutes at three in that situation.
They say you can't play three power forwards at the same time. They had Bobby Portis and Lauri Markkanen on the roster when they signed Jabari Parker, and they said that he would play the three.
Just cut him. Just cut him now. What's the point of keeping him?
Well, Casey Johnson says they've engaged in talks. He's just reporting this in the last hour that the Bulls are engaging in talks with several teams to try to trade him.
Perfect.
They can trade him as soon as Saturday based on the new deal. Problem is it's a $20 million salary, so they'll either have to eat some money or they'll take back a bad contract, or maybe he'll just get outright released.
He's done nothing to make himself desirable. I don't know what you get for him now.
I mean, nothing. Maybe another team dumps a bad contract that has more years of bad money instead of this one that's only 1 year of bad money. But Jabari Parker will not be a Bull next year, certainly.
Right, and so there's no point in enduring him for another 50 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, my guess is he's gone maybe not by the new year, but soon. Like, he's going to be gone soon because There's no reason to. And the one thing I'll say that's positive about it is at least you don't compound your mistake. Like, don't just play him out of position and it infects the rest of the team.
Correct.
And then you don't give Chandler Hutchison minutes to see what you have with that. Like, now that is damning with the ultimate faint praise, but you could see an organization be like, hey, we're going to try to justify our $20 million expenditure and force him onto the court.
Right.
At least now that Portis and Markkanen are back, they're not going to do that.
Good.
Which is, again,
good.
I'm not really praising them for that. It's just an acknowledgement that he's benched for now and he's probably gone soon.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
He made his presence felt early, didn't he? You knew what you were getting before he ever put a pair of shorts on with this guy.
Yeah, not great. And so it's just the latest thing of how none of it had any sort of foresight or made sense and all the pieces together. So the Jabari Parker era is going to end in a very unceremonious fashion. Maybe with his last 4 minutes as a Bull in Mexico City.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
That offense won the championship.
glad they got the line fixed so we could have all that second half, everything, because Rich Wyatt was on the scene.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Salsa. Greg Cosell from NFL Films.
Floaters! Guacamole! I'm a big fan of bolognese.
Enchilada suizas. Greg Cosell will tell us what went wrong with Mitch last week and what the big matchups are for Bears and Packers this week. We always get smarter when we talk to Greg Cosell. We'll do it next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.